Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Mondays with Ryan. I'm Grant Cohn. That's Ryan G. Hensley. Draft was 2 days ago. We've had time to digest it. Usually what happens is the Niners make a pick and everyone's really upset. And then by the end of the weekend, everyone loves the draft. And then today, maybe come to reality, it's not as great as you thought. It's not as bad as you thought. Or maybe it's just much, much worse. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, man. The intro was shorter. I was sipping my Red Bull. I thought I had more time on it.
I'm just messing with you. It was a prank.
I'm good, man. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I have done a lot of thinking about this draft, and not just like pick by pick, but like the big panoramic vision. Yeah. The whole offseason, what the Niners tried to accomplish and did accomplish. So I want to talk about it. It's Monday. You're Ryan. So let's talk about our overall thoughts on the draft. Did you like it? What did you like about it? What did you not like about it?
So the players, I like the players that they got. I like the players that they got, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think some of these guys could be good. Now, we have to be realistic, right? Like, a good draft, like a great draft, a phenomenal draft is five of these eight dudes end up being somebody. That's a phenomenal, well-done draft, five of eight. So anybody telling you, like, all eight of these guys are hitting, like, that's not realistic. If you think all eight of these dudes are going to be Niners long-term or make an impact, you're not being realistic, right? The best draft the 49ers have ever had, five dudes under the 49ers, under Colin John, five dudes. The worst draft is about one or two dudes. So an average draft is going to be somewhere in between. So I think that's important. If somebody's selling you every single pick in this draft, they're not really being realistic. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. But overall, like right now, the players I got outside of Kingston, I'll be real. Kingston, I really don't know much about. He could be amazing. I just didn't know nothing about him. But outside of them, I like the players. For a player's perspective, I give them a very high grade, the 49ers. But it's, why did you select these players when so-and-so player was available that I
have? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go big picture with this. Like, to me, maybe they end up getting 3, 4, 5 starters out of this draft eventually. And that's wonderful for the future. Wonderful. But with the Niners, for years, we keep talking about, well, they're in a win-now mode. Trey Lance can't play because they have to win now. Like, this upcoming season is everything. Mm-hmm. Because they could win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm with that. And to me, this draft didn't make them better this year. And I think it's hard to argue that point. I think most people would agree it didn't. Maybe someone will get hurt and one of these players will surprise. But as it's currently constructed, these were guys who were drafted to replenish the roster next year when there's going to be a bunch of free agents. Fine. Yeah. Okay, the Niners are really good, whatever. Like, I don't like the argument that they couldn't have made themselves better. I think they could have, and teams that are nearly as good as them or better than them did. The Chiefs made themselves better this offseason. And not just in the draft, but in the draft particular, like, they added Xavier Worthy. He's going to start for them. Yeah. And they added an offensive tackle in round two who very well could start too. So that's two players. The Eagles added DBs, like, at least two DBs who will start for them. The Niners just kind of checked at the poker table. We're good.
Yeah, they had clear opportunities. I don't care what anyone says, and maybe we'll talk about later. Maybe I'll save it for later. But there was opportunities that I would have jumped on that would have made them better, right now. And I like some of these dudes. Like, there's some guys in here that I think have potential. There's two guys on this list that I had on my draft board, guys I wanted. My favorite pick in this draft is somebody that I wanted that they got, and I'm thrilled that they got him. And he might make an impact early on. But in general, I just feel like they had, particularly early, you know, once you get past round, you know, four, I don't really care, right? Like the like fifth, sixth, seventh, you know, they didn't draft in the fifth, but who cares? But it's the early guys, one and two, which really, to me, it's like you could have made an impact there, and I'm not sure if you did necessarily.
Yeah. So let's broaden the discussion from the draft to the offseason. Like, the offseason is essentially done. The Niners have made the moves they're going to make. They're not going to trade Ayuk or Debo. This is the team. They've positioned themselves well for the future, but they're trying to win a Super Bowl right now. And which player that they added this year, this offseason, will make the biggest impact this upcoming season?
You ask me which player of these guys will make the biggest impact this season?
Entire offseason, free agency, and the draft. Which new player on this team will make the biggest impact in 2024?
Well, those are going to be your defensive tackles, the guys they brought in to replace Armstead. And as well as Leonard Floyd will probably be the biggest impact. Get pass rusher. That's where I see the biggest impact from guys they brought in. And those are free agency guys, not the draft. That's who I think is going to make the biggest difference in start and play this coming season. It's not really these guys that we got in the draft. That I would probably say.
I mean, let's we agree that the biggest impact player for the present is Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yep. They added Leonard Floyd. Good addition. Got rid of Chase Young. That's an upgrade. They added Malik Collins. They got rid of Eric Armstead. We'll see if that's an upgrade. They lost Dre Greenlaw. He'll come back at some point. Meanwhile, the Eagles, who fell off last year, but were really good for a couple of months, added Saquon Barkley, drafted two DBs who are going to start for them. They got Bryce Huff. They got Devin White. They got Vic Fangio. They got Kellen Moore. They completely revamped their team. They made big strides right now. The Lions, who were 3 points worse than the Niners in the NFC Championship game, added that corner in round one, Terry Arnold. Mm-hmm. He's going to be good. I mean, the Cardinals. No one's thinking about the Arizona Cardinals, right? They suck. Well, they just got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Darius Robinson and Max Melton. Like, both that team guys. Might be the team to beat in the NFC other than the Niners. Like, they may be the best contender in the NFC West.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Niners kind of just stayed the same or tried to.
The Cardinals cooked, man. I you know, as somebody that I don't like giving the Cardinals credit if I don't have to, but I got to be real and objective here. The Cardinals cooked. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a really good wide receiver in this league. Darius Robinson was one of my favorite players early in the draft that I hoped, you know, we had an opportunity to get. He ended up going way before we even had a chance. He might be the best pass rusher in this league, and he can also move inside. The biggest needs for the 49ers were not really addressed. They kind of addressed it round three. I'll break it down more specific right now. Like, the biggest needs for me was D tackle, was one of my biggest needs.
They didn't touch that.
UDFA, right? And then the right side of the offensive line. Now, Pooney, who I like, he may end up making an impact at the guard spot because that's probably what he is. But that's the third most biggest need on the offensive line to me. Not, you know, guard. I mean, in the future, yes, Burford's probably not the guy, unfortunately. Feliciano has one more year. So they're going to need to fix that in a year. But center and right tackle is the biggest need on the line, and they didn't really address that. Now maybe Jarrett Kingston and Dugan, whatever his name is, the UDFA they got, maybe they'll be a center, but I don't think they're going to start or take Brendel's job, and they had an opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so can I get specific about round one? Are we there yet?
One more point I want to make about where the Niners stand relative to the rest of the NFC. I mean, just with the Cardinals, the Niners are still better than the Cardinals, but the fact that they have Marvin Harrison Jr. is terrifying. They got to face that guy twice a year for the foreseeable future, maybe for a very long time. And I mean, he might be a bust, but it's looking like he's going to be really, 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 really good. The kind of receiver that you need an answer for. And it's not, no disrespect, it's not Javarius Ward. He may not be on this team much longer. It's not D'Amador Lenore. It's not, I don't think it's Renardo Green. I think it's someone drafted in round one or that kind of talent. So that's an,
yeah.
So maybe we should get into the first
round. NFC West in general did good. The Rams did good too, man. And I thought Seattle had some good picks. So, yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
Yep. Before we get into, we're going to redraft round one through three. But before we do, we're going to take a couple super chats. Vincent Campos says, Grant is working on his Soprano look today or no. I was thinking more like Miami Vice.
You look good, man.
Thanks, man.
You look good. You look better than me. That's for sure.
You look phenomenal. Don't say that. Denial says, Slick Rick is the revamped O-line in Kyle's system. Think about it. And tell coach, welcome back. Thought my boy caught a Rico. JK, JK, JK. Smacker 44 says, which UDFAs make the team has the biggest role? None.
I like the UDFAs. So,
oh, yeah.
Tanner Mordecai might come for Brandon Allen.
Could.
He's pretty impressive. Okay. Drake Nugent might have a chance
of
making the team.
Eventually. I'm not saying like right off the bat. I don't think anyone will make it like out of training camp, but eventually, sure. They'll be on the practice squad. Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah.
Cody Schrader, maybe.
Yeah.
I like him.
The running back.
The running back. He might end up being better than Isaac, who I liked, right? Tariq Owens. If Tariq Owens is 75% as good as his dad, he might have a chance. So outside of that, I mean, Mason Plyne, they need a tight end too. Actually, I think they did good with the UDFAs. Actually,
they're usually pretty good.
Better than they did in the draft. Yeah.
But to me, at least in the short term, where I'm spending most of my analysis or grading most heavily is the first three picks. That's your opportunity to improve your team now on a win now team that's old, that's trying to get over the hump. And again, you haven't had these high picks in a while. So make them count. Let's go back through what the Niners did. Round one, it was initially reported that the Niners were going to take Cooper DeJean. Isn't this true? Mike Silver reported it. It's a couple other people may have reported it as well. Cooper DeJean, I'm standing there in the, sitting there at my cubicle in media room. Mike Silver says it. Cooper DeJean. And I'm thinking, great pick. A+. I'm trying to start to think all the nice things I'm going to say. I love it because this was my draft crush. And then it's like, nope. Ricky Pearsall. And it was surprising. We'd all heard of him, but no one mocked him in round one. I never saw that.
Nobody.
And that doesn't mean he will be bad, but wow. I didn't think that wide receiver. Well, when they made the pick, you're thinking they're going to trade Ayuk or Debo, but then they don't. So now what are you thinking about this pick?
Well, I'm assuming the only way I can explain it really is that I'm assuming they probably thought they were moving on from B.A. or Debo, or maybe they still do or at some point, or Juwan Jennings even. Like, they got to think there's 11 wide receivers on this team. They're going to keep six. There's 11.
Is that true? 11.
11.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. They're going to keep six at most. And I actually like the fourth round wide receiver that he got. Cowing might end up being better than Pearsall, if we're being real. That's a possibility. And so there were a ton of really good wide receivers. One of my favorite wide receivers has a very similar skill set to Pearsall, which is Malik Washington, who the Miami Dolphins ended up getting at pick 156. Oof. And to me, here's the thing. Like, the biggest, I'm a big like offensive line. Like, I just want to see the 49ers have an amazing offensive line. And to me, there was a day one starter upgrade at center in Jackson Powers Johnson that was available that the Raiders ended up taking that I think would have been a no question impact game changer for the 49ers upgrade over Jake Brendel that they passed on. And that's who I would have got in round one if it was me.
That's a good pick. I would have went a different direction. I like that pick. To me, the way I look at it is, did he fill a need? No. Maybe next year, but you can draft a wide receiver next year. You don't necessarily need to take a guy who's about to turn 24 and redshirt him. The whole idea, this is your first round pick in a long time, and the last one you had, you redshirted and it didn't work out. You want someone who can help you win the Super Bowl. Your core is Kittle, Hargrave, Leonard Floyd, Trent Williams. They're all getting old. You want to make your move now. So this is an opportunity. And you took a wide receiver who's not going to help you now and isn't best player available. I don't like taking wide receivers in round one anyway. Only time you take a wide receiver in round one to me is if you think he's going to be Hall of Famer, because they're so expensive to re-sign. And even if he's not a Hall of Famer, look at the deal with Debo and Ayuk, like all pro once, and you had to just pay him top of the market. I don't like taking wide receivers in round one, especially if you don't need to. So I'm looking at early round two, picks 40, 41, 42, 43. Three corners in a row go off the board. Eagles take Cooper DeJean. Saints take Kool-Aid McKinstry. Texans, D'Amico Ryans takes Kamari Lassiter. And the Cardinals take Max Melton. Pick one of those names out of a hat. I'll take one of those guys. I would have taken Cooper DeJean. He's also a really good punt returner, better than Ricky Pearsall. And he could have made all kind of an impact for the Niners. Instead, he's going to the Eagles. So the Niners could have to see him in the NFC or the playoffs. I would have taken him, but Kool-Aid McKinstry would have been great. Kamari Lassiter, I mean, D'Amico knows what he's doing. That's an opportunity. You got him. And then Max Melton's in the division. One of those four. I would have went DB corner in round one.
See, I understand the DB pick mostly because these guys are out of contract. I will say, even before Renardo Green, the pick, then we'll talk about him. But even before him, I think the DBs, you know, Croc said he liked DB. That was a big need for him as well when I talked to him. But to me, it's like I feel like the 49ers corner room was better than it's been in a long time before the draft with Yeadom, Rocky Shin, Charvarius Ward, Diamador Lenore. So I liked it before the draft. That's why to me, it's like maybe I'm just too focused on offensive line as just in general, but that's. I didn't play a ton of football growing up. I was a right tackle and a nose tackle. That's all I know is football when I was a young man. I really just love offensive line, and I feel like the right side of this line is probably the biggest weakness on this team. And that's why I would have got Jackson Powers-Johnson as an upgrade. So, but I hear your point.
It's a good call.
I think the overall point is
center. I wasn't thinking of that. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You could play him at right guard for a year and then move him to center when Jake Brendel is done or just get rid of Jake Brendel. I was thinking offensive tackle, and what's rough, Tyler Guyton would have been a good pick. He went 29. Jordan Morgan went 25. Like the Niners, if they really wanted an offensive tackle in round one, could have traded up a few spots. Like the Chiefs did. The Chiefs went from 32 to 28, and they got a wide receiver who's going to start for them and make an impact. The Niners just waited, and they missed out on Tyler Guyton. And Jordan Morgan and Graham Barton.
And we'll see, like, on like Graham Barton is another guy. If you're going to move up, get Graham Barton. To me, when I look at this draft class, so many offensive tackles off the board. By the time the Niners drafted, they're drafting the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th best tackle. So for me, it was like, let's not get tackle here. Let's get it in round two, and let's get that center. They could have got the center lockdown upgrade over Jake Brendel, no question. And then in round two, instead of trading with the guys that just beat you in the damn Super Bowl and letting them get an offensive tackle, you had a choice of getting Kingsley or Roger Rosengarten. Those boys, they were right there for the taking. And so that's what I would have done.
I would have went DB. I do think that, I mean, Tyler Guyton does seem like he's going to start for the Cowboys, and Jordan Morgan seems like he's going to start at left tackle for the Packers. Those are playoff teams, and the Niners could have gotten a potential starter at offensive tackle, but they missed out. I think four DBs were available who were really good. I like the center you said. Either one. Yeah. In my mock, I'm going DB. You're going center. Either one is better than, to me, what they did. Let's go to round two, the green pick. So the Niners, in our opinion, have already sort of messed up their draft by reaching for a player who doesn't fill a need immediately, missing an opportunity to make your team better now in a Super Bowl year. Now they go to round two.
Yeah.
They could take an offensive tackle. They already took a wide receiver. They decide to take a corner when really the best ones are off the board already. Like after 42, what I talked about before, it's kind of slim pickings after that. They got a guy who has some traits, but he also, committed a bunch of penalties in college. What do you think of this pick? What would you have done?
I would. So Renardo Green, I have a friend that used to play at Florida State. And when we drafted Renardo Green, I texted him like, what do you think about Renardo Green? He said he's solid. He's nothing elite, but he's solid. And so I think, again, let me clarify, too, for everybody watching. I'm not saying Ricky Pearsall is not going to be a good player. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm making is that they could have improved instantly by drafting that center, who I think is important for Brock Purdy to have a center for the future, right? Give him his center of the future, a good one. And same thing over here with Renardo Green. He may end up being a fine player. A lot of people speak highly of him, and that's good. But you could have got a tackle. You could have got the tackle the Chiefs got. And, you know, you could have got the tackle that the Ravens got. Roger Rosengarten, Kingsley Sumatea. I wouldn't have got my tackle at the end of round one because I feel like you're drafting seventh, eighth. But in round two, those are tremendous values. I'm surprised both of those guys slipped all the way to where they were drafting. They could have got them. That's another instant fix. Maybe those guys don't start over Colt McKivitz right away, but they are better, more talented than Colt McKivitz, and it would have been an upgrade for sure for the team if they would have went tackle. You're going to see a theme from me here today, Grant. It's offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, but because that's, I feel like, the best way that the 49ers team can improve, and so that's what I would have done. I would have got one of those two tackles.
Say the names again.
Either Kingsley Sumatea or Roger Rosengarten.
That's what I mean. To me, what's crazy is like they could have just taken Kingsley Sumatea. They could have taken Kingsley. Mm-hmm. He was there. And they decided, mm-hmm, we don't want him. Let's trade down a spot with the Chiefs who just beat us. And they want him.
Yeah, they wanted him. And he's probably going to start for those guys.
What?
The Super Bowl.
Like, hold on. The Chiefs want him, and you don't.
Right.
I would take him, but just because the Chiefs want him. I mean, damn. Like, you've drafted. Do you know the Niners have drafted 4 offensive tackles since Kyle and John have been here in 8 drafts, and they're McGlinchey, McKivitz, Jalen Moore, and Justin School. That's it. They can't draft that position. The Chiefs can.
Yeah.
You question everything if you don't want a guy, and the Chiefs do. I don't understand that. Absolutely, take Kingsley Sumatea there.
Yes. To me, DB, and I know you see it different, Croc sees it different. I didn't see DB as a huge need, man. I feel like it's going to be a need, and maybe that's what their plan is. It's going to be a need because none of these dudes are under contract for beyond this year, and I'm hoping they extend D'Amador Lenore because he's really good, but it's going to be a need. I get it. But right now, the team's better. These DBs are better than they were last year. Rock Ya-Shin and Isaac Yiedem are going to be better than Ambry Thomas was. But now you got Renardo Green. That's good. That's good. And he may be a fine player. But I would have drafted the tackle that the Chiefs got, right? And that's who I would have got, either him or Roger Rosengarten. I probably would have got Kingsley. Because I did not expect Kingsley to slide that far down. I really didn't. And so, you know, maybe he's not a scheme fit. They passed on DeJuan Jones last year, who ended up being a hell of a right tackle for the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Instead, they got a kicker.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
No picks on offensive line last year.
They've never drafted an offensive tackle as good as DeJuan Jones ever.
Never.
Because he doesn't fit their scheme. Adjust your scheme.
And I've been beating the table. I was beating the table last year for DeJuan Jones. Yeah. And he ended up being a really he's going to be a, he's a stud.
And it's like Renardo Green's cool. Like, is he going to line up outside? Like, do you trust him one on one against Marvin Harrison Jr. twice a year, or is he going to play slot? Is he going to be a nickel guy? I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a blue chip player. So yeah, he's good. I would have preferred to get Kingsley, and I would have preferred to get a DB in round one, or I don't know. This just wasn't the best pick for me at this spot. Right. Trading down with the Chiefs just makes no sense.
Don't ever. Why were you trading down with the Chiefs? You needed a right tackle. You needed a freaking right tackle, and you traded down with the team that beat you in the Super Bowl, who had 9 free rushers against you. Colt McKivitz gave up 13 sacks last season, and you traded with the team that beat you in the Super Bowl, and they went out and got the tackle that you should have got. And again, Renardo Green, Ricky Pearsall, they may be great players. It's just you're passing up real absolute needs that you could fill on this team that you don't invest in, that you need to invest in. And that's what bugs me.
I mean, really, if I want to be like full Niners homer and say, like, They're the best team in the NFC. The only thing they have to do is find a way to get better than the Chiefs. That's it. They didn't. The Chiefs were picking behind them in rounds one and two and found a way to get two starters in rounds one and two, Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamataya. That's money. Meanwhile, the Niners are picking for 2025. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe Renardo Green starts. Maybe he works his way onto the nickel defense because they need him to.
They just signed
Isaac Yiadom. Like, it seems like, it's Kyle Shanahan. This is Kyle Shanahan. The difference between Kyle and Andy Reid. Andy Reid, they had a bunch of rookies on that team starting last year. Rashee Rice was a key contributor. Rashee Rice wouldn't have played for the Niners. Kyle doesn't play rookies unless he has to.
I mean, thank you to Jesse Naylor, pointed out that the Chiefs have, of their last 14 picks last 2 years, half of them have been guys in the trenches.
Yep.
The 49ers has been 18%, 3 out of 17. So it's a big difference in philosophy there. And again, man, I'm just an offensive line guy. Maybe I'm too obsessed with it, but that's the direction I would have went.
All right, we're going to get to round three in a second. Take some super chats before. JDM408 says, yo, Ryan, have you seen the picture of Pearsall's family? Pearsall. I don't even know how to pronounce it. We got to get that right. Is it Pearsall?
Pearsall, I think, is the way Pearsall. You say it. I think. I don't know.
Ricky Pearsall. Have you seen the picture of Pearsall's family? His dad looks like you, LOL. It's on the 49ers website. His dad doesn't look anything like Ryan. I was in the same room. Ryan doesn't look like Ricky Pearsall's dad.
I am his father.
I disagree. Yeah. Corey Soto says, don't think they hit out of the park and didn't. They were bathwater and went old because Kyle doesn't have the skill or patience to develop, ready for rebuild. Woo!
Hot ones.
Woo! Smacker 44 says, also, we drafted so many guys that are going into the year at 23, 24. If we weren't going to draft guys to start right away, why didn't we draft younger? That is a bit of a conundrum. I don't have the answer.
Can we talk about that? That's interesting. We've been talking about the Brock Purdy effect on the draft. And we thought it was going to be like quarterbacks, like guys getting quarterbacks that fit Brock Purdy's mold. No, it's the Niners are going to draft the most experienced guys in college. And maybe that's a good thing, man. Maybe you get the best years out of them and you don't have to pay them a second contract because by the time they're ready, they're going to be 29 years old. Maybe that's a good thing. Or maybe you do have to wonder, why are these guys not coming out into the draft earlier?
The Niners don't have too many more extensions to hand out. Like, they're a pretty top-heavy team. They need a lot of these guys on first contracts, a lot of them who can contribute down the line. Yeah. Not this year, but next year and in the future. Fish and chips. This was balance the books draft later down the line. It was. 7NP says there's no pressure to draft players that can help win now because the owner says losing the NFC Championship game and Super Bowls even when you give up leads is considered successful. Why draft win now, guys, if there's no pressure to win now? That is true. The Niners operate like it's their job to remain in the mix every year. And it's better to stay in the mix than to make that final push and maybe mortgage the future like the Rams did to win a Super Bowl.
You guys are mad right now. I'm surprised how upset the
people are. Well, it's my channel. It's how we do it. Dazza says, if they were going to stay at 31, the pick should have been Kool-Aid or JPJ, but they should have traded up and taken an OT. Cool with that.
Man, I think Jackson Powers-Johnson is either the first or the second best center in this league. If you draft him, you're money. You might as well wait until round two and get Kingsley instead of trading with the Chiefs, and you're probably getting the same quality tackle. That would have been the move. You got the first or second best center in round one. It's going to be here for a long time with Brock Purdy building that rapport. Like, that was the move to me. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to round three. So they take a wide receiver in round one. Mm-hmm. They pass on an offensive tackle in round two. They clearly wanted Rosengarten and then decided they didn't want Kingsley Suamataya for whatever reason. Trade down, let the Chiefs take him.
Mm-hmm.
Take a DB. So now they really want to address the trenches. Mm-hmm. They clearly thought they were going to have an offensive lineman, preferably an offensive tackle by now. They don't. So they trade up from 94 to 86 to take a guard who could play tackle and maybe center too, and Dominic Pooney from Kansas. What do you think of this pick?
I like it. So you're going to see the thing. I told you the thing with me today is offensive line, offensive line. I think it's so damn important. And the 49ers seem neglected way more than me. I like Pooney. Based on everything I've seen from him, he looks like just an absolute beast. He's really violent, and I love that about him. And he's prop to me. I'm hopeful that he's going to be the replacement at right guard. The thing with me, though, is center and right tackle were the biggest needs. Guard was the third biggest need on this line. So they went and got a guy who's a guard. Maybe he'll play center. He's kind of big for that. I don't think so. He's really just a guard. I'm hopeful, man. I'm really hopeful. And I think I've seen you say it. I think I've seen other people say it. I'm hopeful he's not here to replace Aaron Banks, because then you're not getting better. If all he's doing is replacing Aaron Banks next year, you're staying the same. They got to extend Aaron Banks, keep Aaron Banks, and then they got to have this guy be the right guard. If they do that, I love it. I like Pooney. I think he's a hell of a player, man. I really do.
He may be a hell of a player, but I don't like this pick either. One, you're looking for a tackle. You got a guard. I think, could he play tackle? Everyone says he's a guard.
He might be able to.
Maybe he can play tackle. So we're saying maybe he can play right guard. Here's where the Niners don't do a good job of drafting offensive linemen. They haven't done a good, they've had a lot of misses here. And the few times they've had players who can at least play for them, Banks, McKivitz, McGlinchey, they played him at the positions they played in college. What they like to do a lot is take a guy who played left tackle somewhere and say, hey, you're playing right guard for us because you got the body type for it. And they're like, okay, I've never played that. Well, it's fine. You'll be good. And then they're not. Yeah. Spencer Burford. So Dominic Pooney, he played a little right tackle. He played some left tackle. He played some left guard. So, of course, naturally, this put him at right guard. If you wanted a right guard, 49ers, get a damn right guard. This guy's not a right guard. So he might play left guard. But if you notice, the left guards the Niners have had under Kyle are big. Lakin Tomlinson was 325. Aaron Banks is 325. Those are the guys that are trying to get pushed at the point of attack on inside zone plays. And this guy's like 313. So he's almost, six, you know, he's built like, you know, he's built like McKivitz.
Banks?
McKivitz. He's a little, he's like 15 pounds lighter than Banks. He's built like McKivitz. I wonder if they're thinking, well, we'll put him at right guard for a year. And then maybe we can move him out to right tackle eventually. Like, that would sort of make sense, but like putting him right guard in the first place is strange because he's never played it.
He's more talented than Colton McKivitz, in my opinion. So if that's what they do, I would be okay with it because I like the Pooney pick. When I watched his film, great player.
I like saying Pooney pick.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something funny about saying I like Pooney according to people in this chat.
I wrote the Pooney pick. We should say it as much as possible.
I like it, man.
I'm pro Pooney.
This is one of the top two or three picks in this draft to me. And thank goodness they went and got him. But like if I was drafting last year, we would have had DeJuan Jones. So we wouldn't have needed a right tackle. But if I was drafting in this draft, we would have got our center, our right tackle, and our right guard. They would have been upgrades over all them dudes, and the future would have been locked on the right side of this line. That's what I would have done. I like Pooney. Again, maybe Green, it ends up being good. Maybe Pearsall ends up being good. They just, to me, weren't the best options at that point in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that Pooney starts at right guard as a rookie and then eventually moves over to right tackle. That would, I mean, compare his measurables to McKivitz's. McKivitz is an inch taller. Pooney has longer arms. He's quicker. They have the same 40. I think Pooney's stronger. So maybe, I mean, McKivitz didn't start an offensive tackle right away. They had to develop him over years. Maybe that's what they wanted. Maybe that's what they envisioned for Pooney. Because otherwise, I don't really get it, man. Like, you wanted Roger Rosengarten in round two, and you settled to straight up for a guard in round three? I don't understand. And he's not really the kind of left guard you've used. You've wanted big left guards. And this guy didn't play right guard in college. So he did play right tackle a little bit.
He's got those quick feet that the 49ers like on that right side. Mm-hmm. He's really good at that cone drill. He measured really high. I think he's going to be a good run blocker. I think he's a perfect right guard. Maybe he'll end up being a right tackle. I don't know. We'll see.
But here's what I would have done, though, because we said, I'm sticking with my redraft. I would have went Cooper DeJean in round one. Mm-hmm. Then I would have went Kingsley Suamataya in round two. So with offensive tackle checked off, now I would have went wide receiver. And it, here you could have went Troy Franklin from Oregon, who had a real nice draft grade. He was projected to go in the late first or the early second, kind of right around where Ricky Pearsall was supposed to get taken. And he falls to round four because there's a million good wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the thing about Ricky is, again, he might be good, man. He might be. He really might. It's just, I actually really like Jacob Cowan too. Mm-hmm. Jacob Cowan's a true slot. He's the Ray Ray McLeod of this team. He could play a true slot. So is there a plan for Ricky to be the slot, or are they going to move him outside? Right. Sounds like they're going
to
move him outside.
Did you need to take two wide receivers? I mean, you took one. Did you need to take two? Did you need to take one in round one? You could have just taken Jacob Cowan.
Here's the thing. And I agree. Like, I would have done what I told you guys. Like, offensive lineman, all three picks, locked it up, and then get Cowan later on. But here's the thing. This may make sense more later if they end up moving off. Maybe they have plans to move off Debo post June 1. Maybe they have plans of moving off Juwan Jennings. They're supposed to give him his franchise tag him, right? But
his tender, his restricted free agent tender. I don't think he signed it yet.
They haven't done it. So maybe they're moving on. There's a reason why they have 11 wide receivers on this team. Mm-hmm. So maybe in their head, they're moving on from one of the, maybe Brandon Ayuk doesn't work out. I don't know. Maybe they're going to fifth-year option Brandon Ayuk, and they plan him. He's going to sit probably half the season because of it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. And then it's like, hey, if you want to pull that, well, we got a guy. So go ahead.
Maybe this is going to make sense more later on based on whatever they do with those three dudes.
Hey, is it possible that the Pearsall pick is posturing with Ayuk? It's like, look, don't even think about holding out because we're prepared. You can't hold us hostage this season.
To me, he's more of a Debo replacement. And I think Debo knows he's on his last year here at best. If they don't move him June 1st, I think he's done after this year. I think he even spoke about it. He was interviewed about it. And he's like, I understand what's going on. Someone asked him, like, how do you feel about basically your replacement being drafted? That's basically someone asked him that. And he says, I'm aware of what's going on, something like that. And I'm going to be here and it's all good type thing. So,
but if you move him after June 1st, what do you get?
You save a lot of money and you can get a draft pick for next year, maybe.
Mm. Yeah. Can't do that.
I think they should. I don't know, but I know Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Trent Taylor. Like, are you guys even going to make the team? Maybe Ronnie's your sixth receiver.
Trent Taylor, no. Danny Gray, no.
For sure.
I like Ronnie Bell. I thought he was actually decent last year when he got a few opportunities to play wide receiver.
Well, did the Niners like him? Because they just drafted two receivers and signed Tariq Owens as a UDFA. You know, I don't know.
I'm thinking the six wide receivers they'll keep will be Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, Pearsall, Cowing, Bell.
And Ronnie Bell. I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
But also, you know, again, one of those three, it would not surprise me at all if Debo, Ayuk, or Jennings aren't here. You know, I think BA is going to be here. But they might fifth-year option him, which means he might hold out for up to eight games, which means they're going to need a guy. I could see them figuring something out with Debo post-June 1. I could see them. Juwan Jennings hasn't signed his tender yet. So it's kind of on the board. Maybe this is why. Maybe they're in their head. They're thinking, hey, we may need more guys than to replace one of these dudes. So maybe this makes more sense after the fact is what I'm saying.
Could be. Could be. Dave Barclay says, I missed a lot. Keep it up, guys. Trade Kyle. Trade him. They need to listen and draft to QC Grant C. What the hell? Says Doug and Wafa Allshouse. Thank you. Daz says, has a reporter ever asked why the Niners dislike O-line so much? They could have drafted Wirfs, DeJuan, or a high-round lineman this year. None of them fit there. It's all about the scheme fit, right? Got to fit the scheme.
Yeah, I just...
got to fit the scheme.
It's frustrating.
And what that means,
like,
is the run game.
The thing is, the 49ers are actually pretty good at drafting outside of this one position. They're good at weapons. They do, you know, they found Kittle, they found Debo, they found Brandon Ayuk. They're good at finding weapons. They're good at it. it's just in the trenches they seem to struggle, and in the offensive line they don't seem to prioritize it. It's the biggest problem I have with this regime. They do a lot of things really good. They're going to be competitive every single year, but just prioritize this offensive line more. And maybe I'm too obsessed with it. Maybe
they didn't even touch the defensive line.
Say it again.
They didn't even touch the defensive line. Like, run defense was a problem last year. It remains a problem.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. Instead of, if you don't want to go Ricky Parcello in round one, if you don't want to go offensive lineman at all, there was some good ass defensive tackles that ended up going off the board and several picks later. That they probably would have made an impact right away. That was the other, and that was my biggest. I thought the Niners would draft a wide receiver. I thought that was a possibility, but my biggest needs were D tackle, offensive line. They didn't do D tackle, so.
And it's like we were talking earlier about how the Niners stack up with the rest of the NFC. I mean, the Lions ran all over the Niners in the NFC Championship game, and the Eagles, the Niners beat the hell out of them. But now they have Saquon Barkley, so if they play again. Can the Niners stop that run game? That's a real serious run game in Philadelphia. The quarterback, Saquon Barkley, like, what'd you get? Maybe you got Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd and Devondre.
Maybe they believe in Malik Collins. They must believe in Malik Collins. That's my only explanation.
Sure.
They got to believe
in him. I don't know. Yeah. They believe in him so much that they traded a seventh round for him. I'd like to know. Adam Gardner says, y'all are on something if you think Slick Rick won't make an instant impact. He's easily better than Debo. All Debo has over him is trucking ability. Okay, Adam. Who do you think's going to have more catches this year? Debo or Purcell? Pearsall.
I think Pearsall could be better than Debo. He's a better pure receiver. I don't disagree with you there, Adam. I'm just saying I would have went in the biggest direction of need, which is center, right tackle. That's what I would have done.
I don't know. It just seems to me it seems to me that Kyle sort of revealed who he blames for the Super Bowl loss with these picks. Pearsall, okay, that's Ray Ray. It's Ray Ray's fault we lost the Super Bowl. He tried to scoop up the punt. He should have jumped on it. Ray Ray, number one. And then what? Logan Ryan, number two, for giving up the touchdown at the end. And then Spencer Burford. So those are the three positions that really hurt the Niners in the Super Bowl. Punt returner, guard, and DB. No, it was head coach, man. Draft a head coach. The Niners should draft a head coach in the first round next year. Like a guy who's really shown promise.
Kyle shows promise. I would say he has promise.
He has a lot of promise. Okay, let's do some sleeper picks. Sleeper right. Time. We got games tonight. Hold on, let me put the thing up.
Dude, I won my last one. I did it on my own. Yeah, I won my last one, like $300.
You're good at sleeper picks.
I don't know about
that. So today we got Boston and Miami, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Lakers and Denver.
I always like taking LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think the gentleman's sweep is completed this evening, by the way.
Okay. So LeBron, what do you like for him?
Let me pull. What do we got? 27.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a lot for him, honestly. Dude, he's been doing. What did he get? 30 last game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the game before that, I would go. I mean, he's gonna need to ball out in order for them to have a chance. But 27.5.
Let's bet against him. Let's pick against him.
All right.
Let's pick against him for fun. Anthony Davis. 26.5.
I would go over for AD. They got to play their best game to have a chance.
Okay.
But I think it's over, to be honest.
What about Jokic?
Jokic, what are our options? Is he getting a triple? Does a triple double on there?
Triple dub. Yes.
Go for it. He's getting a triple double tonight. Seal the deal.
Seal the deal?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Bam Adebayo, Austin Reeves.
The key is three.
Jason Tatum.
The key is three, Grant. I'm telling you right now.
You don't want to get we shouldn't get greedy on this one?
I won $300 2 days ago. I bet $50 on three picks. $300.
Boom. How about that? Let's do these three. Yeah. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic. Is that his name? Nikola.
I don't even know.
Joking. I don't even know. Yeah. Putting $10 on it to win 56.
We got to up the entry.
Boom. If you want to win like Ryan and me, use promo code CONE, COHN, and get a deposit match up to $500 on your first deposit.
All right. Let's go.
Back to football. So I didn't, neither of us would have taken the players. I don't know. Would you have taken, you would, if you had taken, would you have taken Pooney in round three?
I probably would have. He wasn't on my, like before the draft, I didn't think I would have got him because I would have already grabbed two, but I think it's a good pick, man. I honestly do. So I like Pooney. Yeah. I don't have no complaints about that pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your favorite pick in the draft from the 49ers?
He was on my board for a long time. I have two guys that are on my board. Can I talk about two? The first one's not my favorite. I'm going to end with my favorite. But I had him on my board because he's a boomer bust dude. And that's Isaac Grendel. Like, he could be hella, hella good. Like, his athleticism is through the roof. He's not my favorite pick. But I had him on my board just because I wanted the 49ers to get faster. And they definitely did that in this draft. Credit to them. And if he lives up to his athletic potential, you're talking about a freak athlete, 4.33, 42 and a half inch vert. So I like that pick. We'll see. He's either going to be amazing or he's going to just not produce like he did in college and get injured all the time. So I'm hoping it's the other. But my favorite pick is a guy. His name is Malik, not Malik. I keep wanting Malik to say Malik because it's spelled like Malik. But his name is Malik Mustafa. This dude is an absolute wrecking ball. He's one of the best tacklers to coming out of this draft. His speed is underrated. People talk about he can't cover. He was clocked at 23 miles per hour. Some dudes play faster than they time in a 40. His 40 is not nothing that blows you away. But dude was clocked at 23 miles per hour. This is John Lynch's favorite interview in this whole process was Malik Mustafa. When I watch him, he, to me, looks like the out of all of these guys that the 49ers picked this year, to me, he's the guy that's going to be a dude. I really believe that. He might be better than Brown. He might be better than a player I love, Huff. He's great in the box. He's just reckless. Dude is a straight cannonball, wrecking ball. I'm a big believer in Malik Mustafa.
I agree. I would say that he's the best pick. I mean, he wasn't a reach. It's a day three pick, so it's okay to pick for 2025. I could see him starting if they don't re-sign Talanoa Hufanga. Although, I feel like just letting Hufanga go. People are really down on Hufanga. I don't understand. He was an all-pro. He intercepts a lot of passes. He gives us some plays, but he makes big plays. But anyway, I like Mustafa Light a lot. I think that this was a pick that made a lot of sense. And he could be a guy who gets a second contract with the 49ers. That's my thing. Like, how many players from this draft are going to get a second contract with the 49ers?
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah. I like Malik Mustafa, man. If you guys haven't watched Malik Mustafa in college, I urge you to go watch some of his film. He's just fearless. Like, Malik Mustafa seems like the kind of player that could have played 20 years ago and just rip dudes' heads off. He unfortunately can't do that now. Well, not unfortunately. It's probably a good thing you're not ripping guys' heads off anymore. But he seems like a throwback type player. Like, he could have been that guy. Like, he's a Dante Hittner type hitter. I really like Malik Mustafa, and I think he's underrated in coverage. He is actually better in coverage than people are giving him credit for. One thing I've noticed about the 49ers that I've come to the conclusion is they're not going to draft a free safety or a strong safety. They just want safeties, guys that they think can do both. And they don't have to worry about who's the free safety, who's the safety. They just do both. And I think Malik Mustafa, honestly, out of all three of the safeties, I think he's going to be better at both than all of them.
Yeah. I like the Niners picks on day three. Although taking a second wide receiver, the Jacob Cowan pick is a little strange to me. Like, I know they're trying to get Tank Dell. Tank Dell's 5'8", and he's a really good slot receiver for the Texans in a similar offense, the same system. But Tank Dell's like a really good punt returner. Cowan isn't. Look at his. No, he averaged like 6 yards a punt return last. Like, that's not getting it done. I don't know about him. He's really small. He's kind of taken late in the draft. Pick 135 and a pick that they said had 170 draftable players. I'm a little skeptical about him. And then the guard they took, I know we're talking about our favorite picks. The guard with the 32-inch arms, like, yeah, I don't know about that one. But the linebacker at the end, he could probably help on special teams. He might even turn into something.
Bethune. I have a friend that used to play. The same guy that I asked about Renardo Green, he texted me about Tatum Bethune and said, Tatum Bethune is an absolute dog. I love it. He's a Niner fan and played at FSU. And he texted me like, that's the thing you say, right? But that's the absolute dog. Yeah. He loves Tatum Bethune. So he said that's a hell of a pick. We'll see. I haven't been able to watch much of him yet, but I went and watched a little bit. And his favorite player, he said he emulates his game. And this is before he even was coming to the Niners. He said he emulates his game after Dre Greenlaw. And that's what he kind of looks like, to be real.
Yep. I like that pick. Mm-hmm. So the two guys on defense that actually helped the run defense, the safety and the linebacker. I like those picks. Funny. Yeah. They actually served a purpose. And they weren't reached. They weren't overdrafted. Great picks.
Yeah.
Pretty money. Taking two wide receivers, trading up. I know you like the Grendo pick. Trading up for a running back.
Mm-hmm. He might not work out. He's the boomer bust to me. It's not that I think, oh, this guy's for sure going to be a lock. That's how I feel about Malik. I feel like he's going to be a lock. And, you know, we'll see what happens. With Isaac, I don't have that feeling about this guy's going to be a lock. I just like, he's either going to be amazing or not. Like, he's the boomer bust to me. So we'll see.
If I just told you before the draft that the Niners are going to trade up for a running back in the middle rounds, what would you say?
That's the thing, is I had Isaac on my board. Okay, I had Malik on my board, but not. I thought they could get him a little later. I didn't think they would trade up for him, but they had a third round grade on him. But the funny thing is, whenever the Niners have third round grades on guys, they don't running backs, they don't work out, and so the UDFA might end up being better. Yeah.
How hard do you think it was for Kyle not to take the running back in round three?
It was probably tough, man. But I figured at that point they're like, we got to get some kind of offensive line.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Here's how you know they need offensive line, Grant, is they signed a couple of them. They signed a center and a tackle as UDFAs. So they're like, we need linemen. Let's get UDFAs. They knew they needed linemen. They know it's a need. They have no depth at that position. And they just chose to do it as UDFAs. So
it's true. There's some good UDFAs.
Yeah.
Dazza wants to know what team gives a quarterback $50 million plus per year like the Niners seem ready to do with Purdy and not upgrade the offensive line. That's scary.
Not great.
That's like buying a Porsche and not parking it in the garage. It's like buying a mansion and not getting Ring cameras.
That's my thing. Like that's why it's just frustrating for me with this team. It's like, you say you found your franchise quarterback and you're going to sign him to a long-term contract. He's going to be here for years to come, but you don't invest in the offensive line to protect him. That's why it's frustrating to me.
You think the Chiefs would mess around like that? Oh, wait. No, I know that they don't.
Yeah, they won't. No, they don't.
They absolutely will not. Fish and chips. They did draft a head coach to get prepared for Staley Magic. Oh, man. They're not going to let him anywhere near the players. J-Luck 666. $2, JLuck 666, $5 says maybe Kyle trying to push Debo to do better with the Pearsall pick and trade him next year. Wide receiver room looks great, BT-Dub. Last $2 was for a taco. Thank you.
One thing that Pearsall, I tweeted this out, people didn't like it. Pearsall. One thing Pearsall does not do that Debo does is take plays off. I know that's got to kill Kyle. I know it. I know Debo's his boy, but when you watch him taking plays off, that's got to piss him off because that's their thing, right? Like, what are you doing off the ball? And Debo, a lot of times, takes breaks. When you watch Pearsall in college, he was relentless even when the ball wasn't in his hands.
Harold McAllister, with the current roster, what rookie will have the biggest impact this year? Tatum Bethune. No, Pearsall will be the punt returner.
I think Renardo Green might push Diamador Lenore into the nickel and be your outside corner. So he's probably, if I had to bet, he'll play a lot. With Malik, I think he's hella good, but they're going to give Huff every opportunity to retain his job. So I don't know how much he's going to play this year. But I could see Renardo Green making an impact, being the third corner or actually the outside corner, and they push Demo inside.
I can see Pooney getting a look at right guard if Feliciano gets hurt.
Yeah.
Because the Niners don't give a damn, dude. You never played right guard before? So? You're going to be great. I don't like that. The Niners been doing that since before Kyle and John got here. Like, taking college players and changing their position before they even get in the league. Like, wait a second, man.
Yeah, I mean, right and left side it is different from everything this guy's coach has said about Dominic Pooney. He literally, that's one of the things he says, is he can play all five positions. Some guys can do it, some guys can't, right? Basketball, some guys can make right-hand layups, some guys can't make left, and vice versa. And I think it's
Aaron Banks can play right guard. Aaron Banks can play right guard.
Some guys can't. Some guys can, though. Some guys are more ambidextrous. Sure. Yeah,
it's true. Well, we'll see. If he can play right guard this year and be an upgrade over Feliciano, that's a good pick in round three. Even if he can't move to right tackle one day. So I'm interested. I don't know what their plan is for Pooney. I'm interested with that.
Yeah.
I guess Green, too. Is he going to play nickel or is he going to play outside? Because to me, I feel like I might trust Lenore more outside because he's faster than Green. Green runs about like a 4.5, like a 4.49.
It's just Lenore has, they know Lenore can play nickel. Renardo Green didn't play a lot of nickel in college. He's more outside corner. And he's used to it. So I would imagine in their head that they plan on having Renard on the outside. He's really good.
Yeah, I would agree. You start him outside. I would agree with that.
Yeah. That's why
I start him outside. And if that's the case, maybe he's the third guy and Lenore plays inside in the nickel. That could happen. So he'd be competing with Yadam and Ambry. Those two.
Yeah.
So that could be the answer. Boxing Fan times 4. Do you think they should have drafted an edge?
They always draft edge. I'm okay that they didn't for once.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Debo jogs unless ball is coming to him, says Dave Barclay.
Yeah.
It's a bad look. He's also not really into blocking. Last topic. The Ayuk factor. No extension yet. They drafted a wide receiver. He said it was a fire pick. But he wants an extension. It seems like he's prepared to hold out. They have a replacement in case he does. How do they make this work with Brandon this year? Do they have to give him an extension, or can they get him to come back and play on the final year of his rookie deal and get a motivated, locked in Ayuk?
Well, BA, if he does hold out and come back, you know, he's going to, if they do a fifth-year option, I expect him to hold out. Some. I don't know how long. Some. But one thing I like about BA is that he just, it's going to be a contract year if that's the case, right? So he will give it his best. And he's the kind of player I trust to give it his all no matter what the situation is. He's going to be in phenomenal shape. He's going to go out there and do his thing. So I could see them fifth-year option. And again, there's a reason why they have 11 receivers on the team right now. I think that's an insurance for that situation. I hope they just work out an extension for him because, you know, we talk about how much these wide receivers are getting paid and, you know, maybe they give him $25 million a year. You know, I could see, you know, possibly they want more, but I think they could probably get this done for $25 million a year. That's my guess. I could be wrong. But at $25 million a year, by the time his contract actually hits the salary cap, these receivers are going to be getting $32 million a year, $35 million a year. So it's going to be a bargain. And he's, I don't even know if he's in his prime yet. So for me, I would try to get Ayuk fully on board and build around that, right? Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk. That's to me what they should be doing as far as the future is concerned. But I also think the Niners will fifth-year option him if he's not reasonable in what he wants. If he wants $30 million, I probably would fifth-year option him. That's what I would
probably do. Like, that's what I'm saying. I feel like the Niners have made it clear that they want him for life and that they've made him an offer, and they would pay him a lot of money, but will they pay him exactly what he wants? And if not, what happens? And I think maybe Ayuk felt that he had some leverage. Like, if you want to win the Super Bowl this year, you better make me happy, because if you try to make me play my fifth-year option, I could hold out for quarter of a season or half a season and really torpedo the season. And then you would have sort of cut your nose off to spite your face. You didn't pay me, and now you don't get to win the Super Bowl. So I hope you liked saving some money. But now the Niners can say, like, well, all right, well, if you try that, we got a first-round pick to play in your position, and he went to the same school as you, and he runs the same routes as you, like, we're good with him. So if you want to play hardball, we're prepared. You can come back and you can take this extension that we've offered you, or you can play for your fifth year option. Maybe this just gives the Niners more leverage.
Yeah, it does. And it gives them their a hedge, if nothing else, right? They have a backup plan. Hopefully one of these guys works out and can do 80, 85% of what Ayuk does. I think, you know, it was a good sign that Brandon Ayuk group texted Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch when they drafted Pearsall and said, you know, fire pick, not going to lie. So at least, you know, they're communicating and it's not completely soured. So I would expect they've worked something out. That, I would say 70% chance they work out an extension for Brandon Ayuk. 30% they go on a fifth-year option. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Brandon Ayuk and they're offering you what? What's the guarantee going to be? If they give him 4 years, $25 million, how much is the guarantee going to be on that? What do you think? $60 million, roughly? Yeah. If you're Brandon Ayuk and you have an opportunity to sign a contract and make $60 million, that's option A, or hold out and hopefully you do that next year, that's hard to pass up to me. Like, give me the $60 million. I'm good.
I think they're going to make him – I think he's going to play at the fifth-year option and they're going to trade him. But I've been wrong about this all year. I thought they were going to trade him in the draft. I just don't think the Niners should pay him the contract extension, and I don't think they want to, which is why I think they drafted two wide receivers. Because, again, like, these wide receiver contracts are disgusting. They're so expensive, and it's not just for Hall of Fame wide receivers. It's for guys who've been to one Pro Bowl or one All-Pro team. Like, if you have Justin Jefferson, by all means. But if you don't, you still got to pay $30 million a year for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Hell no.
Yeah. Hell no. I would just rather draft a wide receiver. Now, I wouldn't want to reach for one in round one, but, like, look what the Steelers do. The Steelers rarely re-sign their wide receivers. Not that they're the greatest organization of all time, but they hit on wide receivers in the draft all the time. They're disciplined about it. They don't take them in round one. They take them in round two and round three, and they generally don't re-sign them for big money because it's freaking expensive, and you can get good ones in the draft who produce pretty quickly.
Same reason why they didn't trade Brandon Ayuk, or unable to trade Brandon Ayuk. That's what I tweeted out. Like, what GM is going to pay $30 million and give up a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk when you can just draft a guy?
Like, yeah, paying him $30 million is tough enough to swallow. No, did he? Yeah. So that right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think at $25 million, it makes sense for Brandon Ayuk. It's going to be a bargain. At $30 million, I don't know. I don't know if I would. I'd probably fifth-year option the guy.
It's just interesting. If they would do the fifth-year option and try to play hardball, they have to make sure that he's locked in and not a malcontent and not a divisive force in the locker room or whatever, because he's so important to them potentially winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, and that's the leverage he has on them, right? He mm-hmm. can hold out and mm-hmm. miss a lot of games. I think mm-hmm. he can miss 8 games, and he could be a jerk if he wanted to and make things awkward in the locker room. So $25 million, sign him, no question. You got a great player who's probably not even peaked yet for the long term. He does everything you want. $30 million, you're like, dude, you're forcing our hand. We're going to fifth year option you. That's how I would look at it.
Is this not what happened to Chase Young last year?
Oh, you mean with what, with the Commanders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he on the fifth year option there?
I don't know. Chris Young.
He was drafted 2020. So 2020, 2021, 2022.
Chris Jones.
No.
Chris Jones held out. Okay. And they finally paid him on the Chiefs.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it pays. It's better for everybody if they just come to agreement on a dollar amount. And there's ways you can structure the contract where it's not even really hurting you as much. I would figure it out. And I think that's what they do. I give it a 70% chance.
It just seems like when Purdy is making big money, you're going to need to spend on offensive line. And it's hard to spend big money on offensive line, quarterback, and wide receiver. Those are the three most expensive positions.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to sacrifice a wide receiver and draft well. And the Niners just took two. So they're planning ahead. But
And here's the thing, Grant. I've come to the conclusion, tweeted this out the other day. They're not going to replace Trent Williams through the draft. Because The only place you find a Trent Williams or not even a Trent Williams, but a starting left tackle is early in the draft. And they're not going to have losing seasons and be there early in the draft. They're not going to trade the arm and a leg to move up in the beginning of a first round. When Trent Williams retires, they're going to find a guy that they can either trade for, or like they did for Trent Williams, or they're going to sign an expensive ass left tackle in free agency, because left tackle is the only position they really value on the offensive line. So they're going
to
be.
I got another one too. Another prediction. This brings us back to the beginning of the show. They're not going to replace Jake Brendel with a rookie. They're not. Look at the centers they've had here. Weston Richburg, yeah. Alex Mack. They want vets.
Yeah.
It's another reason they passed on a really good player who would have made sense at 31 for a wide receiver.
Yeah. I could see that as well. Yeah.
Anyway. Just letting you guys know what's going to happen in the future. That's what I do. Grant Cohn, Ryan G. Hensley, Mondays with Ryan, 1,800 people watching. Thanks for being here. Make sure you like and subscribe to this and Ryan's channel. And check me out later today, 3 o'clock. See you guys.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.